Red light punctures pitch darkness, flaring up, then subsiding to reveal a rotating S. Screen Gems, a Sony Pictures Entertainment company. Ty Hackett, a black man in his late 20s, lies asleep in a darkened bedroom. He twitches and his eyes open. He stares at a glowing digital alarm clock at the side of the bed. The time turns 5:15 and the alarm starts bleeping. He rubs a hand over his eyes and face and wearily sits up with his legs off the side of the bed. The scant light picks out his chiseled abs as he sits staring blearily into the shadows. He bashes his alarm clock. Mike Cochran, a white guy with a tidy black beard and moustache, lifts his dripping face from over a wash basin and stares at his reflection. He towels his face dry and looks himself in the eye. He drops his gaze, and his focused expression gives way to one of worry. Wearing a red plaid jacket, shaven-headed Ty knocks on his teenage brother Jimmy's bedroom door, then steps inside.
Rise and shine, let's go. Gonna miss the bus, get up.
Please stop acting like that.
Boy, I don't got time for this. Get up, I'm gonna be late.
Your lunch is in the kitchen.
Jimmy pulls the covers over his face as Ty goes, leaving the lights on. Mike strolls out of his clapboard home and through the garden to his brown coupe. Tall chimney stacks and industrial buildings stand in the near distance, beyond a broad, forbidding wall beside the house. He gets in the car and motors off. Ty sits alone on the backrest of a bench with his feet resting on the seat. Behind him is a monolithic grey concrete building enclosed by a wire mesh fence. Mike pulls up beside him in the sleek, light brown coupe. As Ty goes to get in, Mike drives forward a little. Ty shrugs, then tries again, but Mike does the same thing, immediately reversing past him.
Come on, man!
Ty climbs in beside Mike, and they chuckle as they drive away. Shutter doors rise to reveal a big, boxy security truck with the legend Eagle Shield emblazoned above the windscreen. Baines, a stubbly, pockmarked black guy in his late 40s, stands on a tarmac apron smoking a cigarette as he hoses the truck down. Mike and Ty stride into work. They grab their time cards and clock in. The time is 7 a.m. Burly security guys get ready in a locker room. Dressed in a blue uniform, Baines holds a featureless heavy-duty shotgun.
Now that's what I'm talking about. M4 Benelli scattergun. State of the art! Black! Yeah, boys. I wish somebody would mess with us on the roof. What? Huh?
Looks like the devil made that.
Cut the shit, bum. You and the devil was real tight not too long ago, huh?
God saved my life, yes.
He's tattooed.
I guess he'll save yours.
Mike.
What's up?
Morning.
Morning.
Yo, hey. Mike. Check this baby out. What do you think of that?
Looks like you're overcompensating.
What are you talking about?
What am I talking about?
What are you talking about?
You know what they say, bigger the gun, smaller the pistol.
Okay, good one. Oh, you know. Yeah, I'm gonna remember that shit. That's all right.
Next Monday, teams 1, 3, 5, and 7 will commence training on the new 425X7 ACTs. Ladies and gentlemen, we are entering the modern age. All new trucks will be equipped with GPS. This is mandatory training, and I will accept no excuses, no hall passes.
A man turns a key in a steel-plated truck door, then climbs in behind the truck's large steering wheel. He turns a key in the ignition, and a needle climbs on the rev counter. Fumes issue from the exhaust as the truck rolls out of the depot, leading other security trucks in convoy. One by one, the squat, boxy vehicles emerge into the light of day. They leave the security compound and drive away in different directions. Inside a bank, Mike and Ty watch as one of the branch's security guys closes the heavy round steel door of a vault. Another security guy rests a bag of money on a trolley and seals it. With the money sack resting on a metal box on board the trolley, Ty wheels it through the foyer of the bank. Clutching a pistol, Mike escorts him, his watchful eyes scanning around as they head for the door. Baines watches from the truck as they stroll out of the bank. Baines holds a hand up and they halt. Mike throws the truck's back doors open and Baines looks back at them over his shoulder.
What's going on?
I got a black van. He circled us twice.
Ty climbs into the back.
All right, eyes and ears open.
Mike hands him the sack from the trolley, then the metal box.
I wish they would try something.
Ty loads the trolley into the back and Mike closes the double doors. Ty locks them from inside as Mike goes round to the front and climbs into the passenger seat. Ty stares out through one of two small windows in the back as the truck pulls away. He and Mike share a look, then Mike turns to stare at the road ahead. Bane's eyes rove intently as they cruise down the street in the shade of nearby buildings. Printed below the Eagle Shield legend on the side of the truck are the words Armored Transport and an American flag. Mike stares ahead, his eyes narrowed. A large number 12 adorns their roof. They drive down a sun-dappled street and under a bridge.
Whoa, what's going on?
The spluttering truck rolls to a halt in an underpass.
What's going on?
I don't know!
Bales frowns and throws his hands up in confusion.
I don't know, she just cut out on me.
Check your gauges.
Everything looks good. Hey, wait, whoa, whoa.
You smell that? Anybody smell that? Smell that? I don't smell nothing, Bane.
I smell it. Burnt sugar. Somebody got to the fuel line.
No, this ain't good.
T-12 to base.
This ain't good.
T-12 to base, come in. Keep keying that thing. Keep keying it. T-12 to base, come in, goddammit. Where are you? We got a code back here.
What's going on?
Keep keying the thing.
I am. I'm trying.
The truck is at a standstill.
Keep 12 to face the man. Face,
where the hell are you? We got a code black.
We're in the dead zone.
Yeah. Bane looks out of the window.
Holy shit.
An approaching van.
My seatbelt stop.
Hit the deep lock.
My seatbelt
stop. Bane double locks the truck. Men stick explosives to the back windows. Tan does his seatbelt and cowers in fear as a detonator bleeds on the other side of the glass. As the black van tears off, two of the masked assailants duck for cover. A paltry shower of sparks rains down as a small bottle rocket firework bounces around inside the truck.
I can't take it. Got you, man.
Got you.
The assailants laugh at him through a window.
Oh, buddy, you're great.
Jesus.
Baines climbs out of the truck and high-fives Palmer, the tattooed guy from the locker room. Another of their colleagues, craggy-faced 50-something Quinn, laughs to himself by the black van. They all drink in a bar.
You should have seen the look on your face.
Quinn points at Ty, who laughs.
Hey, I tried to stop them, bro, all right?
Yeah, I tried to.
Yeah, you're supposed to have my back.
Hold on.
Mike stands.
I've got something I'd like to say. A whole lot of stuff. You know, when your old man asked me to be your godfather, that was a big moment in my life. He was a great mentor to me, and he was my best friend. I don't know how much of this he expressed to you, how deeply proud he was of you when you joined the service. And I know both he and your mom would be proud to see the way that you stepped up for your brother Jimmy.
You're proud.
Yeah. And I'm proud of you too. So, let's take a moment to lift up our glasses to Ty. Ty Jr.
Ty.
Ty.
You passed your probation. Starting tomorrow, you're a full-fledged guard with Eagle Shield Security.
Eagle Shield.
The guys watch as Quinn shoots Paul.
They dropped a power line on the truck. 50,000 volts.
Ride everybody inside.
They were lucky they went fast. Remember Omaha?
Oh, man.
Yeah, they tried to use a demolition charge to blow the door. The door held. But the fuel tank went up in flames.
They were cooked alive.
Ty sits forward.
So, has Eagle Shield ever got jacked?
Once. A couple of guards got killed in a 5-man ambush.
How much they get?
Not $1. The last guard in the crew dropped all 5 of them.
One guard?
Yes. Ashcroft.
Ashcroft. Our Ashcroft. Mm-hmm.
That's why he's got the cane.
No.
Still carrying a couple of slugs in his back.
I got an even better one. Back in October of 88, a crew making a $4 million cash transfer to Abilene stopped at a car accident. Only it wasn't an accident. It was a setup. The guard who got out of the truck, well, they just grabbed him, put a sawed-off shotgun to the back of his head.
Then what happened?
The crew just gave up the money, and they let the guard go.
The guards just gave up the money?
It was either that or sacrifice one of their brothers.
And the funny thing about it is, they still never caught up with those hijackers, right?
Nope.
They never found that money either.
Ty's eyes rove.
See? Not everybody's a hero, soldier boy.
Skinny, dark-bearded Dobbs shares an awkward look with Palmer as Baines sits down next to Ty and puts an arm around him.
So, when you gonna tell us about all them kills you got over there in Baghdad? We'd like to hear about that.
Gotta take a leak.
Ty gets up and wanders off to the gents. Mike shoots Baines a look and shakes his head.
You're out of line, man.
He leans against a wall and presses his lips together pensively. A pair of headlights cut through the inky blackness of night. Mike drives with Ty beside him in the passenger seat. Ty stares ahead into the gloom. Mike glances at him, then turns his eyes to the road.
You should be proud of what you did over there.
Ty shakes his head and raises his eyebrows.
Not. A lot of innocent people died out there.
Right, but you were just trying to protect the guys in your unit.
Ty broods.
Those guys are your brothers. Anybody would have done the same thing.
Ty stares ahead and strokes his goatee.
So you think. That's what you think.
He bows his head slightly. Having stopped the car, Mike cocks his head to one side and furrows his brow.
We're not going to let the bank take your house.
I got that under control.
Don't bullshit me, Ty. Don't worry about it. We're going to think of something.
Ty looks thoughtful. He blinks, then gets out of the car.
All right. Say hi to Jimmy.
Drive safe, man.
All right.
Colored fairy lights decorate Ty's front porch. Mike drives away as Ty lets himself in and takes off his rucksack.
Jimmy!
Ty closes the door behind him and glances around the front room.
Jimmy!
He strolls through the downstairs area.
Jimmy, let's see!
Ty tosses his keys down and strolls through to the kitchen where he finds Jimmy putting the finishing touches to a magnificent owl he's spray-painted on the wall.
Jimmy!
He's wearing headphones.
Jimmy!
Jimmy turns sharply and removes his breathing mask.
What are you doing? Huh? Your bedroom is one thing. You know this is the kitchen, right?
He removes his headphones.
What's for dinner?
Takeaway.
I'm starving.
You're really testing me, bro.
They sit down at a table littered with cans of spray paint and unwrap burgers in tinfoil.
Every day. Every day is something with you.
What took you so long?
No, Jimmy. Where'd you get the supplies? You ain't getting no money from me, so where you getting it, Jimmy? You better not be stealing it from the store. Where'd you get them?
Man. I'm not stealing from the store.
Okay, tell me something.
But school has a real nice supply.
Ty cracks a smile.
Boy.
Jimmy laughs and chews his food.
These are going to school.
Jimmy leans back to admire his accomplished artwork.
I'm gonna catch you.
Jimmy looks at Ty.
Them out days always I freak mom out and tell all those stories.
Yeah, I remember.
Like, there was an owl living in the attic.
There was an owl, too.
Ty drops his gaze and picks at his food.
Come on.
What?
A real owl.
A real owl.
He smiles and shoots Jimmy a look across the table. Jimmy glances at his painting, then looks solemnly back at Ty.
You think it's going to?
Ty chews his food. He looks Jimmy in the eye, then stares up at the owl.
You got skills, man.
Ty nods.
Thanks.
They eat. Addressing his men.
All right, listen up. One more thing.
Grizzled Ashcroft plunks a collections can down on his desk.
As I was getting the collections together for Freddy's widow, I found this.
A slip of paper.
For a good time, call 555-0125.
Swarthy Palmer rolls his eyes and continues to read his Bible as Baines cackles.
You're sick, Baines.
Baines shrugs.
How you know it was me? Did you call the number, Chief?
Ashcroft gestures to Mike.
I can't believe you let your sister marry this pig.
She's always bringing home strays. You know, maybe she's got a thing for sick animals.
Ooh. Ooh.
All right, settle down. Tomorrow begins the CCD cycle. So if you can't be here on time, be early. And I expect each of you to pay extra special attention to detail. Half our ACTs will be carrying HC priority loads.
Yeah, I got his priority loads.
Palmer shakes his head.
All right, keep your eyes open out there.
The guys file out in their blue uniforms, the stars and bars sewn onto the tops of their sleeves. Ty approaches Ashcroft's desk.
Hey, you got a second, Ty?
What is it, Hackett?
Ty looks around.
I was wondering if you could throw a few more shifts my way. Yeah, I know it's a problem. I just need some help, man. Getting letters from the bank, some real ugly letters.
I'm sorry, kid. Not enough to go around.
Ty nods.
All right, thanks, Ty.
Ty turns and leaves the room. Craggy-faced Ashcroft looks thoughtful. Baines sleeps in the back of a security truck as it rolls through town, his mouth open and his head lolling. Ty's in the front with Mike. Mike speaks into a radio.
Eagle 12 to control. We're code 5 and en route.
Copy, truck 12. Next radio check-in in 15 minutes.
Eagle 12, out.
Mike glances at Ty.
Think I know what happened to that money. The Abilene job. They never caught those guys because they don't exist. The crew hid the $4 million. And then they just made up that story about getting jacked.
Hide the money, fake being jacked. That's classic.
That's pretty good, huh? The only thing is, they made one big mistake.
What's that?
They didn't take enough.
Ty frowns at him. Mike and Ty walk along a dimly lit corridor.
This is the bank. What? Just trying to take the house.
They keep walking. Night. Mike's car cruises down a darkened road past sparse traffic traveling in the opposite direction. Ty stares inscrutably out of the window. Mike.
You know, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Shit, I don't know what that means.
Well, your dad worked 2 jobs, barely made ends meet, right? And then, God bless them, but he and your mother die. And they leave you with a house with 2 mortgages, a pile of hospital bills. That's not what they wanted for you. They wanted you to get out of this place and have the life that they never had. And now look at you. Here you are in the same old shit.
They drive through a rundown industrial estate.
Guys like your old man used to bust their hump working in places like this.
Factory buildings.
go off to Iraq and you serve your country and you earn a Silver Star. For what?
Dejected, Ty meets his gaze, then stares at the road ahead.
Don't get me started. Come on, let's get something to eat.
Eckhart, a 30-something police officer, devours a hot dog at a roadside food stand.
Hey, kid, I'd get you another one, but you usually stop at four.
Thanks, Joe. Take another Coke.
You got it.
The proprietor refills his Coke as he takes another big bite.
You really love him, don't you?
My father used to take me to ball games when I was a kid. He put away four of those things apiece. I don't know, every time I eat those, I'm...
Any available unit will be reported gunshots in the vicinity of Franklin and Durango.
Unit 8, showing route.
1048.
Thanks, Joe.
Give me next time.
It's this time.
And be safe.
Eckhart pays up and gets in his squad car. Mike's car pulls up behind him. The red and blue lights flash atop Eckhart's vehicle as he pulls away. Mike and Ty get out and start towards the food stand, past a poorly graffitied building.
This is one spot Neil Hood's gonna be here forever. Hey, Joe.
What's up, Joe?
Two regulars, one with cheese, and get me another one to go.
Another one to go.
For Jimmy.
Thanks, man.
How's he doing? Driving me crazy. It's hard for him, you know?
Yeah.
I hear you.
They munch on their hot dogs as flames rise from the grill.
Well, I really appreciate everything you do, man.
Are you kidding me?
Why you do a lot?
You're like family to me, man. You and Jimmy. You'll always be family to me.
He pats Ty affectionately on the back of the head.
I'm really starting to feel it, Mike.
The whole damn world, bro.
He mimes like it's crushing him, then sighs.
Have you talked to Jimmy about the situation?
No, he knows the bank wants the house, but he thinks I'll figure it out.
Mike discards his napkin.
Good dog, Joe.
Thanks.
Listen. Let's take a walk. Something I've been meaning to talk to you about. Thanks, Joe.
Right. See you around.
Mike and Ty take a stroll through the dimly lit estate.
Tomorrow is the start of a new CCD cycle. It only happens twice a year.
Yeah, I heard this morning.
Can't be on time, be early. Yeah. The banks will be looking to crown their vault reserves, which means we're going to be transporting something in the neighborhood of $42
million. Damn. That's a lot of money.
Damn straight.
So...
So, think about it.
They stop walking.
Think we might get jacked?
As a matter of fact, they do. We're gonna take that money, Ty. You, me, Baines, Quinn, Palmer, and Dobbs.
What?
It's gonna be just like the Abilene job. Only we don't make the same mistake they did. We're going big.
Ty grins.
Come on.
Well, you think last week was a joke? It was a test run. That's exactly the way this robbery's gonna play out. It's our alibi. We stash the money, and we tell them we got jacked.
You're planning to yank $42 million?
No. We're planning on yanking $42 million because I need you in this.
Are you crazy?
It's gonna work.
The cops are gonna be all over you, Mike.
Forget the cops. Of course, you're gonna be all over us in the beginning, but we got a rock solid alibi. And all we gotta do is stick with it.
The trucks, Mike?
So we're gonna torch the trucks. There's gonna be no evidence.
We're gonna
left.
Torch the trucks. Are
it's
you listening
clean,
to yourself, Mike?
It's clean. It's clean. Come on, man. There's no bad guys. Look, there's just us. Nobody's gonna get hurt. Think about it.
It's nothing to think about. I'm not doing it. Me and Jimmy, we're gonna be all right.
Look. I understand. You're a little bit worked up about this. I don't blame you. It's a little last minute, I understand. I want you to go home, sleep on it. And if you want in, be at the bus stop in the morning.
I won't be there.
All right, look, where are you going? Where are you?
Walking.
I'll drive you.
Needs a fresh air.
Ty, come on.
Promise me you're gonna think about it. Ty!
Ty stops striding away and turns to face him.
Come on, man. Look.
Smiling, Mike saunters over to Ty.
All right. I know I can trust you with this.
Mike locks eyes with Ty and raises his eyebrows. Ty shakes his head. Mike's face is creased into an imploring smile. Ty turns and starts away down the street. Mike stands holding the brown paper food bag containing Jimmy's hot dog, thoughtfully tapping one hand against it as he watches Ty trudge off with his rucksack slung over his back. Mike lingers, then turns and walks back the way he came. Ty walks briskly, then breaks into a jog, his hands buried in his pockets as he passes a towering, half-illuminated industrial structure enclosed in an empty concrete yard. The spare light casts a long shadow behind him as he runs. Holding onto the straps of his rucksack, he jogs up the steps of his front porch and stops by the door to catch his breath. He turns away from the door and rubs a hand over his mouth. He stares down at the ground, shakes his head, and wipes a hand under his nose. Taking out his keys, he turns to the door and lets himself in.
Ty, this lady came here to see you. She's from Child Welfare.
Sir, are you Mr. Tyler Hackett?
Child Welfare, Ty.
What's going on? What's going on?
I kept telling her we ain't on no damn welfare, but she didn't want
to
listen.
And I've tried to explain it's not that kind of welfare. It's child supervision and services.
Whatever, lady. Whatever. My brother got a job, okay? We don't need no welfare.
Jimmy, shut up!
Jimmy pouts. The matronly woman glares.
Okay?
Ty's face and head glisten with sweat.
Come in.
In the past 10 months, during the little time he's actually appeared at school, James has had 2 suspensions, 4 arrests.
For tagging. He's artsy.
She shoots him a beady-eyed look.
Look at that. Tell me that's not art.
The owl painting. The elderly, sharp-featured woman cocks an eyebrow.
Okay. Come on, lady. He's a good kid. When I was his age, I was hot-wiring cars.
Her eyes widen.
I came out wrong.
Your brother's school has notified us. He's missed more days than he's attended this year.
What you talking about, Jimmy? I asked you a question, boy.
Jimmy turns sullenly from the window.
I was looking for a job so we could keep the house.
You're losing your house, Mr.
No,
Hackett?
We're not losing the house.
You have to understand, Mr. Hackett, if James doesn't have the proper lodging...
I didn't know he was missing school.
As a result, the Department of Child Welfare is legally obligated to intervene on James' behalf to determine if he's a candidate for state-funded care. Foster care.
Ty frowns.
Foster care, that must be a mistake. I'm Jimmy's legal guardian. I take care of him. Okay. All right. I admit it's been tough. But he lost both... We lost both our parents this year.
I understand, Mr. Hackett.
Nobody's splitting us up. Lady, he's my brother. You know what that means, huh? I'm all he's got.
He glares.
He's all I got.
The woman regards Ty disdainfully.
Nobody's splitting us up.
He shakes his head.
Period.
Brooding, Jimmy looks away and flexes his jaw. Morning. Mike rolls up beside the monolithic grey building in his 70s coupe to find the bench empty, and Ty nowhere to be seen. He stops the car parallel to the bench and glances over at it before gazing pensively into the cold grey sky. His eyes are reflected in the rearview mirror, which vibrates as the engine turns over. His grim countenance flickers to a blur as he revs the engine. Mike strides along a corridor and turns into the Eagle Shield locker room. The guys stand waiting, watching him as he enters and crosses to his locker. Stubbly, grey-bearded Quinn steps up behind him with an expectant look on his face. Mike turns with a sad smile and shakes his head. Quinn's face falls. Reading Quinn's expression, Baines puts his head in his hands, then balls his fists. Bespectacled Palmer nods resignedly. He has the word Madre tattooed behind his right ear. Dobbs leans glumly against a locker. Mike opens his locker. Behind him, the doorway fills with a solemn, slouching figure. Mike frowns quizzically and turns to look. It's Ty. He shuffles in, wearing his plaid jacket and a beanie hat, keeping his chin up proudly as he passes the other men. They watch as he walks up beside Mike to his locker. He opens it and Mike stares at him through the grill door. Facing ahead with his eyes down, Ty removes his jacket.
No one gets hurt, right?
Mike furrows his brow.
How? There's no bad guys. Only good guys.
Palmer and Quinn listen intently.
Jimmy needs me. I cannot go to jail. You hear me?
Their eyes meet.
No more blood on my hands.
He pulls off his beanie and throws it into his locker.
Promise me nobody gets hurt. Nobody gets hurt. That's a promise.
Ty glances back at the others, then carries on getting dressed. The others are already in their uniforms. Dobbs glances at Baines, who shares a subdued smile with Quinn. Palmer's eyes light up, and he nods to himself. Dobbs pulls on his blue jacket as he descends a narrow flight of stairs with the others close behind. They file round a corner with Ty the last among them. Ashcroft limps purposefully across the truck depot. He heads towards the team, who are walking in the opposite direction. They keep their eyes down as they pass him. Supporting himself with a cane, he approaches Ty.
Hackett, hold up a minute.
The guys stop to watch as Ty looks warily at Ashcroft. The chief proffers a gleaming badge.
Came in today. It's official, kid. Now you've got the 10 to prove it. I want you to know it's an honor having a decorated veteran on my crew.
Ty nods.
I mean that.
Come on, let's roll out.
Two Eagle Shield trucks cruise past a security guy in a booth and through an entranceway at the rear of a towering grey building. Green strip lights reflect off the windshield as Mike and Ty roll into a spartan, sheltered parking area resembling a multi-story car park. Exposed metal pipes make up the brick walls. The trucks reverse into adjacent parking spots. Mike glances at Ty, who is palpably tense, his shoulders hunched. In the back of the truck, a beefy, middle-aged Bane swigs from a hip flask and bares his teeth. Quinn reverses carefully. Palmer and Dobbs share a look. Ty and Mike climb out of their vehicle. A federal guard stands by an incongruous mahogany desk with a lamp on it. The big, heavy-featured guy adjusts his trousers, a gun cradled in a holster behind his back. He leers at them as they approach, led by Quinn. Quinn proffers a security card, which the man scans with a gun-shaped card reader.
Gentlemen.
Mike strolls up behind Quinn. The man scans Mike's card. The cards hang round the men's necks on lanyards, into his radio.
Currency transport 3489.
Copy that.
Palmer throws the back doors of one of the trucks open as Baines lifts a large metal box from the back of the other. The federal guard eyes the team suspiciously as they loiter with deadpan expressions. A guard with a black Armalite assault rifle keeps vigil by broad shutter doors as five armed colleagues wheel out a metal box the size of a fridge. The small squad makes its way to the front desk with the cargo. On point is a stern-looking senior gentleman with an angular face, thinly pursed lips and close-cropped hair. The burly guard at the desk shows him some documentation. Mike sneaks a glance into the container through holes in its side. Ty does the same, inside a stacked cardboard boxes bearing the words Federal Reserve. Quinn's eyes rove hawkishly, his features thin like those of a bird. He exchanges a look with Mike.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that good?
Yeah. All right. All right, gentlemen.
Mike signs for the cargo.
All right.
We're all good. Let's roll out.
Guards open the doors of the shiny metal container and start unloading the shrink-wrapped boxes of money. One by one, the guards go back and forth, depositing the currency in the smaller Eagle Shield lockboxes. The armored Eagle Shield trucks meander out of the cargo bay. They glide through the sunny streets, passing through the shadows of roadside office blocks. They drive by a construction site, then rumble across a bridge with truss frames spanning the road. The two vehicles roll to a halt on a rundown industrial estate. Mike turns to look at time.
It's time to check in.
Ty is distant, his eyes trained ahead. Baines rocks nervously in the back. Ty speaks into the truck's radio.
Eagle 12, control.
Go ahead, 12.
12 is,
Ty looks at Baines, who holds up the fingers of one hand and mouths the words, Code 5.
Code 5. Situation normal, we're on Jefferson, headed back to the barn.
Ashcroft.
Copy, 12.
At HQ.
Next check-in in 58 minutes.
He looks at his watch.
Copy that.
Eagle 12, out.
In the back of Mike's truck, Baines grins from ear to ear. In Quinn's, a beaming Palmer leans his head back against the interior. They drive on, past enclosed electricity pylons. The trucks bounce over tram lines as a brilliant sun bursts from behind a nearby industrial plant. They pass under a faded rusty sign and thunder past an old steel mill where a row of tall, slender chimney stacks reaches into the wintry sky. Rust eats away at great slabs of metal stacked in an open-fronted storage area. The radios go haywire. They are passing what appears to be an electrical substation composed of clustered pylons and steel frames. Light floods into an abandoned building as Dobbs strides in through a door and opens two much larger doors for the trucks to pass through. They enter and park up in the hangar-sized industrial space. Dobbs closes the enormous doors and hops on the back of one of the trucks. The trucks continue into the cavernous, high-ceilinged interior. They roll down a ramp to a lower level. Up ahead is a cabin constructed from yellow corrugated iron. Its windowed facade grubby, its interior cast in shadows. Extending from the building are a number of elevated walkways and steel-framed structures, accessible by flights of iron steps. The guys pass under a railed walkway and park up. Ty is the first to get out. He takes off his jacket. Joining him, Mike claps his hands together urgently. The others climb out. Dobbs and Palmer unload a heavy lockbox, and Palmer opens it to reveal the shrink-wrapped cartons of banknotes.
See what I mean?
You smell that?
Yes. Smell it for you.
Smells like ours.
Bates, stop that. You want the cops smelling booze on you?
Come on, put it away. Put it away.
Okay.
All right, look. We got 51 minutes to stash this money and then get jacked. Let's go. Come on.
Mike turns to time.
Take that gear off. I got a job for you. Let's go.
Palmer bows his head over the money.
Now is not the time to pray.
Come on, Hackett.
They form a line and pass the cartons of cash along towards Ty.
Put the money in these bags, put them in the hole, all right?
Standing on an elevated platform, Ty does as he's told. Dobbs and Baines move canisters of kerosene.
All right, let's go. Keep going.
The men hurriedly convey the cartons to Ty, who quickly bags and stashes them.
Here it comes. All right, keep it coming.
The cartons keep coming. One by one, they pass from Palmer to Quinn, to Mike to Baines, to Dobbs, and finally to Ty. But someone is watching.
That's it. This one's empty.
All right. Last one. Let's go.
Quinn beams, then looks up to see a figure watching from the first floor of the cabin. His face falls.
Someone's here.
Palmer looks up at the shattered window. The hooded man makes a break for it. Palmer and Dobbs give chase. Baines pumps his shotgun. Palmer and Dobbs come to a halt at the foot of the steel frame structure and Dobbs holds up a hand. The disheveled figure scarpers and Dobbs tears up steps after him. Palmer charges up the bonnet of the truck and springs onto the walkway, but the fleeing man slips through his fingers. Draped in a filthy blanket, the man turns right onto a perpendicular walkway but finds himself staring down the barrel of Baines' M4 Benelli shotgun.
Easy, Grandpa.
He's hemmed in.
Easy.
The terrified vagrant rolls over the railing and plummets a good 20 feet to the ground. Dobbs and Palmer stare down in disbelief as he scrambles to his feet.
Mike!
Mike chases the man and floors him. In the chaos, the man makes to run. Baines takes aim.
Are you out of your mind?
Quinn thumps Baines in the face. Ty stares anxiously at the gaping gunshot wound in the fallen man's back. The man spasms. Ty drags the wounded man to his feet and supports him. Ty starts for the door.
Ty, where are you going? Ty, he's not gonna make it. Ty, stop!
He does not. Mike cocks his pistol and takes aim. The muzzle flashes. The wounded man collapses. Ty stares incredulously at his slumped body.
I had to do it.
Mike swallows.
No choice.
Ty's right arm is drenched in blood. He trembles.
I do. No, you don't.
Baines aims the shotgun, but Mike swats the barrel downwards as Ty sprints for the truck. The guys race after him, but he leaps into the back and slams the double doors shut. He double locks them.
Come on, Ty. Open up. Gotta figure this thing out.
You just shot that. You just killed that man.
He was gonna die before you got him to a hospital.
You don't know that.
Yes, I do.
You don't know that.
Yes, I do, and so do you. Look, Ty, he was gonna land us in jail anyway. Don't you understand? Ty, open this door so we can figure this thing out together like a team.
But you just want me to walk out there? Huh? Baines is trying to kill me!
Forget Baines. I'll deal with Baines, I promise.
Your promises don't mean shit.
Look, I admit Baines screwed up. You're absolutely right about that. But I didn't want us to all go down for his mistake. We gotta clean this up. If we keep our cool, this thing could still work.
Ty glowers.
Think about Jimmy. He needs you.
Ty scrambles into the front and grabs the radio.
Control.
He adjusts the dial.
Control, Eagle 12, this is Eagle 2.
He sits down behind the wheel.
Come on, Ty. Come on, we can still make this work. Open the door.
Open this door!
Mike glares at him through the window. Ty starts the engine and puts his foot down. Mike hurries back to the other truck and pursues him through the building. The others race after them, hopelessly, as they tear out of the unit. The trucks weave around stacked slabs of rusty metal, and Ty hangs a sharp right in a bid to throw Mike off. Clinging desperately to the wheel, Ty grimaces as Mike hares along parallel to him, the two of them separated by stacked iron girders. They glimpse each other through intermittent gaps as they hurtle along through the steel yard. Mike throws his truck into a sharp right turn and accelerates, but Ty sails past the intersection unscathed. Mike oversteers, swinging the truck's rear end out wildly as he speeds after Ty. Mike catches up and shunts Ty from behind. Ty's windscreen gets splattered with mud and he wrenches the truck into another tight turn. A steel lockbox tumbles from the back of Mike's vehicle as he flies close behind. He rams into Ty's left side. Mike motors alongside Ty. He slams into him again and drops back, bears right and accelerates, slamming into Ty's right side. Sparks fly as Ty's truck gets sandwiched between Mike's truck and some stacked girders. Mike sees another such obstacle ahead of him and drops back, tailing Ty, then shunting his rear bumper. They slalom towards the industrial unit. Ty puts the pedal to the metal and swerves out in front of Mike, who plows into his side, driving him sidelong to the building's interior. The truck slams against stacked iron and spins towards the others, who scatter and dive for cover as Mike rams Ty's truck to a halt against the cabin. Sparks rain down. Injured in the cab, Ty sounds an alarm. The alarm rings out across the vacant grounds of the steel mill. A corroded restricted area sign quivers in the slight breeze. At Joe's, Officer Eckhart looks up from his hot dog.
Hear that, Joe?
Hear what?
Wiping his mouth, wiry, fresh-faced Eckhart rises from his seat at the counter and looks out towards the steel mill.
Pop the hood!
Baines lifts the bonnet as Mike slings aside some fallen debris. Mike turns and wrenches a fuse from the engine. He holds it up for Ty to see. Ty pants.
Get out of the truck! Come on!
Ty glowers, his eyes rove, and he springs into the back of the truck. The others hurry round to the vehicle.
We're dead, man.
Oh, it's gonna be okay.
We're dead.
Just be cool, Dobbs. We stick to the plan.
Oh,
we're
you
okay.
Stick to the plan? Was shooting that guy part of the plan, Baines?
Stop walking.
Bob, was it?
Ty rummages through a box.
Baines, right. Maybe we should leave.
And go where?
I don't know.
You guys can sit here and you wait for the cops. I am done. I'm done.
You're not going anywhere.
Dobbs is right.
Quinn frowns.
In 40 minutes when we fail to check in with Ashcroft, this whole area is going to be crawling with cops.
Ty finds shotgun shells but discards them.
Here's what we can do. We can forget about the money in my truck. Take the 21 mil from Quinn's truck and split it up five ways.
It's still a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. But then what? Cat's out of the bag now. This changes everything.
Well, what do we do?
Yeah, what do you want to do, Mike?
Mike considers. He points at the locked truck's back doors.
Get the kid out of the truck.
How?
The hinges.
Hinges? Yeah. Those hinges are tempered steel.
Yeah, but the pins aren't.
You can drive the pins through.
The hinges will come undone.
So, you got less than 40 minutes to do this.
Okay.
And then what?
And then, the cops arrive. We tell them that Ty died saving our lives. That he died a hero.
That'll work.
Mike stares at Ty through the window.
All you gotta do is open the door.
Ty's nostrils flare, his jaw set firm.
Come on, let's get something open.
Goddamn hinge.
His anxious face at the window, Ty's eyes dart left and right. Mike sighs and looks up at him.
I would have protected you.
Mike holds his gaze as he backs away from the truck. The guys search among scattered steel components and industrial debris littering the floor. Palmer finds a short, thick iron bar. Quinn picks up a steel spike like a long arrowhead. He sprints back to the truck. Palmer lays his hands on a larger, heavier bar, about the size of a baseball bat. Dobbs holds the spike in position over a hinge. Palmer strikes it with the heavy bar. He tries again and sparks fly. He tries twice more, and Dobbs snatches his hands back. Palmer shakes a hand in pain.
Me cago en la madre del diablo!
All right, well, let's go. We got 36 minutes.
Ty climbs into the front and sits in the driver's seat. He looks back over his shoulder as Dobbs and Palmer chip away at the hinges. The sound of steel on steel rings out through the vacant lot outside. A machine counts banknotes at the Eagle Shield HQ. A guy with a clipboard approaches Ashcroft in the truck depot.
Request for 500,000 CTO from WLH Trust.
Ashcroft takes the clipboard and signs.
Hold for 12 and 17.
You got a boss.
They're doing 30.
Dobbs holds the spike as Palmer drives it down into the hinge with the iron bar. Palmer's shoulders sag and he slumps over wearily.
Come on, get to me. Okay. You and me, let's go.
Quinn takes Dobbs' place. He grips the spike and holds it over the pin of the hinge. Squatting slightly with his feet apart, he looks at Mike to give him the go-ahead. Mike brings the bar down hard. Successive blows inch the pin slowly from the plates. Dobbs paces by the front of the truck with his hands behind his head. Ty looks out at him. Baines strides up to Mike.
Mike! Come on, this is taking too long.
You got a better idea?
Keep going.
Baines turns his head to look away as Mike continues to beat at the tempered steel hinges. Ty opens a small hatch in the door and speaks through it.
Dobbs. Dobbs.
Dobbs knits his brow and approaches the driver's door. He stands in the shadows, his face illuminated by a narrow shaft of light. He looks at Ty.
What? Help me, man. I can't. You should have stuck with us.
Come on, Dobbs.
He stares through the hatch.
We're not murderers.
Mike bashes the pin out of the hinge. It lands on a rusty step beneath the doors, and Quinn snatches it up. Catching his breath, Mike pats him on the back. Baines surreptitiously picks up a canister of kerosene and starts towards the truck. Ty stares at Dobbs imploringly.
Just help me out, man. You gotta help me out.
No. No, I don't.
Dobbs pays Baines a sideways glance as he strides up to the truck. He pours kerosene over the bonnet.
Come on now, soldier boy. What are you doing?
What does it look like I'm doing?
He pours it over the windshield. Dobbs drags him back, but Baines knocks him to the ground. They grapple. Baines cracks him in the jaw and pins him down. The others rush over. Palmer knocks Baines over, and they wrestle as Mike holds Dobbs back. Ty stares open mouth as Dobbs flails wildly. Quinn fires into the air.
God damn it! You broke my tooth, you damn moron!
Next time I'll break your head.
You burned the truck, you burned the money, idiot!
I'm gonna tell your sister you called me that.
Mike picks up the toppled canister of kerosene. Quinn marches away angrily. He takes a cigarette from a packet as he climbs a flight of steel steps towards the elevated walkways. Eckhart's patrol car prowls through the steel yard. His eyes rove as he looks out from behind the wheel. He wrinkles his brow and picks up his radio.
Unit 8 dispatch.
He glances at the radio.
Dispatch.
Ty stares down miserably as he sits in the locked truck. Dobbs perches on the roof of the truck, pummeling the spike into the top hinge of the door they're removing. Palmer is holding the spike ready. Mike watches as Palmer retracts a hand in pain.
Going to. Okay, keep going.
Baines sits watching. Mike paces. Eckhart rolls through the storage lot between stacks of rusting steel slabs. Quinn smokes, keeping watch from a ground-level walkway high above the other men.
Cops! There's a cop car!
Dobbs and Palmer down tools and flee from the truck with the others. Ty sees them hair off. Eckhart drives slowly towards the entrance. The men hightail it up the steps towards Quinn. Ty looks around desperately as he tries to think. Mike and Quinn peer out through the window at Eckhart.
He's stopped. I can take care of it.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. No, he's not here for us. Don't do anything stupid. I'll get rid of him.
Outside.
Hey there! Whoa, 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 hey. I'm a good guy. I'm a good guy. Is everything okay?
What are you doing here?
I'm a security guard. Yeah. Yeah, I also do some maintenance work as well. Yeah.
Everything okay? Baines squats by the window with his shotgun.
I thought I heard a siren.
Mike frowns.
Siren? No sirens here. At least to the best of my knowledge.
What do they need security at an abandoned building for?
Well, it's for insurance purposes. They've got vagrants running around here. They're stealing copper and just stripping the place clean. It's really terrible.
Heard some banging, too.
Oh, yeah, where?
Couldn't tell you where from.
Ty hurriedly tugs wires out from under the dashboard.
Well, I've had to chase them out of here numerous times. They're mostly bums, but if one of them gets hurt, the owner's still liable.
Everybody wants a piece of the pie.
So, there's nothing over here in this particular unit.
It sounded like it was coming from in there.
Yeah, I just came from in there, and I didn't see anything. Of course, I don't really like going in there much, you know. I can show you around, but you might want to cover your nose.
What's that?
An old dog crawled in there and died.
Ty takes a battery from a heavy-duty torch.
The rats have eaten most of them, but the stench is so bad it'll make you puke. They've got these rats that are the size of a big old fat cat. Come on in, I'll show you the dog.
I'll take your word for it.
You sure?
Yeah.
Ty connects a wire to the torch battery.
Well, thanks for stopping by. If I hear anything, I'll be sure to let you know.
Ty connects the other wire. Eckhart turns and Baines shoots him. He goes down. Quinn steps out wild-eyed as Mike takes a furious kick at the dirt. Baines exits soberly, gun in hand. Quinn and Mike look down at Eckhart. There's a bloody gunshot wound above his right hip.
Help me get him inside.
Quinn grabs Eckhart's pistol from the ground and they drag him into the industrial unit by his ankles. Ty listens from the truck.
What the hell?
They drag Eckhart down the steps inside the unit and dump him on the floor.
Well, what was I supposed to do? He was coming inside!
Ty watches the others as they squabble by the bleeding police officer. Clamping a flare between his teeth, he quietly opens the driver's door and sneaks out between the truck and the cabin. He breaks cover, keeping a watchful eye on the others as they stand in a group arguing. Ty empties kerosene through a smashed window and lights the flare. He tosses it through and runs. An explosion bursts through the shattered glass and the others spin round. They race over in panic as flaming banknotes rain down from above. Ty skids up beside Eckhart and lifts him over one shoulder. Ty scuttles back across the unit in plain view, but the others are distracted. They clutch desperately at charred banknotes as he makes for the truck. Mike turns and sees that Eckhart is missing. The men look round. Mike draws a pistol and they spring into action as Ty lays Eckhart down in the back of the truck. Ty grabs a medical kit as Mike peers in through the window. He bashes the grip of his pistol against the door in frustration, then stomps away as Quinn aims his gun at the glass and empties a clip. Mike sits down and hurls a crumpled banknote at the floor. In the locked truck, Ty crouches over Eckhart.
Okay, all right, just look at me. Okay, I need you to breathe. There we go. So it's there. I'm gonna have to clean this up and stop the bleeding, all right? Okay.
Ty pours surgical spirit over the gaping gunshot wound. Mike sits thinking in the warm glow of the burning money. Holding his pistol, he stands up and approaches Quinn.
I got an idea.
Pressure! Keep the pressure on the wound. Can you do that? Huh? Huh? Can you hear me? All right. I'm gonna call it. Officer down!
He slams Eckhart's radio down. Quinn strides towards the other truck.
Okay, all right. We just stopped the bleeding. We can wait this out. Me and you. Okay? You're not dying today. Okay.
Quinn throws the other truck into reverse, unpinning Ty's truck from against the cabin. Ty's truck wobbles, and he looks out through the window to see Quinn drive away up the ramp.
What's your name, man? Eckhart. Jake Eckhart.
Jake. How long until your backup comes?
I don't know. An hour, maybe. That was my lunch. I'm bleeding dead, man.
I know. Keep pressure on it. Okay?
All right?
You gotta breathe, though.
Breathe. More you breathe, less it hurts.
Dobbs holds the spike in place as Palmer chisels away at the top hinge from the roof of the truck. He accidentally bashes Dobbs' hand. Dobbs hops down from the truck and bends double, clutching the injured hand in pain. Baines takes his place and holds the spike in position.
Come on, Palmer. You watch my hand.
Palmer clubs the spike. Quinn drives the other truck along a leafy, sun-drenched street. He approaches Ty's dirty white clapboard house and pulls into the driveway alongside it, parking up in front of a gabled wooden outbuilding. He glances in the wing mirror and climbs out of the vehicle. He takes a few steps towards the house and looks around. There's a basketball net attached to the outbuilding. An articulated lorry rolls past behind the house. Quinn starts towards the front porch. He climbs the steps and knocks on the front door. He listens at the door, then tries again. He glances back at the road, then marches off round the house. The door opens. Jimmy peers out, wearing a black T-shirt with a monkey on it.
Ty!
He sees the security truck.
Ty?
He looks back in the direction Quinn went in, then goes back inside.
Ty! You home?
He shuts the door behind him.
Ty!
He strolls through the lounge.
Ty!
He rounds a corner and sees Quinn looming in the hall. In the industrial unit, Dobbs knocks on the driver's door of the immobilized truck, and Ty steps into the cab. Dobbs beckons him over. He speaks through the hatch.
She's still alive.
He's not gonna be if we don't get out soon. Okay, listen to me. Cochran, pull the main fuse from the engine. What's in his coat pocket?
I'm scared, Ty.
Dobbs, I need you to get it. It's our only way out of here. Get it, Dobbs. Get it.
Dobbs blinks, then retreats from the hatch. Ty steps through to the back and stares out through a window to see Dobbs making his way past the others.
He's doing it. He's doing it. Nice and easy.
Mike's jacket hangs on a post nearby. Dobbs pads over to it and discreetly takes the fuse from the pocket. He treads slowly and carefully past Mike, Baines and Palmer, who are diligently working away at the hinge. Dobbs puts one foot in front of the other, slowly rounding the vehicle. He passes between two iron columns and comes round to the driver's side. Ty leans on the wheel, watching with bated breath as Dobbs slots the fuse into place. Ty looks past Dobbs and his eyes suddenly freeze. Dobbs turns round. There stands Mike, flanked by Baines and Palmer. Baines has the shotgun resting casually against one shoulder. Mike removes the fuse. Mike eyes him calmly.
I don't know what we're doing here. Anymore, I mean. This is not what we agreed to, Mike. I mean,
Baines wears a malevolent smile.
Palmer, don't let them do anything to me, man, please.
Mike hangs his head. Palmer looks at Dobbs.
Hold.
Mike lifts his gaze towards Dobbs, who nods nervously.
Okay. Okay. All right, man.
He steps past the three men and strides off into the unit. Ty slams a hand against the wheel and climbs into the back of the truck. Mike looks at Baines and Palmer. Palmer nods. Ty sits down and hangs his head. Palmer catches up with Dobbs and walks alongside him. Dobbs covers his eyes with one hand and breathes deeply. Palmer claps a hand on his shoulder.
I'm sorry, man. It's okay. I'm sorry. It's okay. I can't do it.
I know.
I can't do it. I just want to go home. I want to go home, man. I want to see my kid. I'm sorry, man. I'm really sorry.
Dobbs spasms as Palmer stabs him in the gut. He sinks to the floor. Silhouetted in the doorway of the cabin, Palmer lifts his chin and cocks his head to one side to dispel tension from the muscles in his neck. He steps out of the cabin and stands for a moment clutching a bloody knife in his left hand. He looks down at it. Ty sits in the back of the truck with Officer Eckhart.
one was supposed to get hurt.
Don't let him bleed to death.
Ty crouches over Eckhart and runs a hand through the blood pooling on the metal truck floor. Stocky, shaven-headed Palmer crouches by a dark puddle and washes the blood from his knife and hands. Sweat beads on his forehead and tears glisten in his eyes. He looks up, his bottom lip trembling. Ty drags Eckhart upright against the truck doors.
I need your radio.
What are you doing?
I'm getting us some cover.
Mike holds the spike as Baines kneels on the roof, hammering it into the hinge with the butt of the iron bar. Palmer drifts over and stands with his back to them.
Palmer
breathes. Mike shakes his head.
Palmer,
hold up.
Mike hops down from the back of the truck.
Palmer, you with us? Let's go. Get back to work.
Baines' chest heaves as he crouches like a hulking gargoyle on the truck roof. Palmer takes Mike's place, holding the spike. Baines continues to pound away at the pin. Ty fumbles with a wad of banknotes.
What are you doing?
I can't see it. They don't know what we're doing, right?
He starts taping banknotes together.
You with me? You with me?
All right. Yeah. Hang tight, hang tight. Hang tight.
He sticks them to the inside of the window to block the crew's view into the truck. Mike notices and starts pacing left and right, his jaw jutting out with suppressed rage. Palmer holds a hand up and looks down. Baines stops hammering. Mike strides to the side of the truck and watches as Ty lines the side window with banknotes. A look of profound concern descends on Mike.
Hurry up.
Keep talking. Keep breathing.
Talk to me, talk to me.
Ty lines the windshield with banknotes. Baines grits his teeth as he bashes the tempered steel hinge pin. A few inches of the pin protrude from the bottom of the hinge. The windows are now completely obscured. Ty listens for a moment, then kicks hard against the back of a hand trolley, driving its metal load plate under one of the truck's floor panels. Eckhart huddles up in the corner as Ty pries the panel loose and slides his fingers underneath it. Baines beats relentlessly at the spike. Ty peels the panel from the truck floor and peers down at the ground below.
Okay, I'm going up to the roof. I'm gonna try to get a signal, okay? You just keep pressure on that thing. I'll be back.
Why would you come back?
Because I'm the reason you're in this mess, Jake.
Yeah.
Eckhart's pallid face is smeared with blood. Ty feeds Eckhart's radio down through the hatch, then lowers himself to the ground. A pair of feet pace by the side of the truck. Baines sits with legs dangling either side of the hinge, beating down furiously on the spike. Ty crawls along on his belly and emerges from beneath the bonnet of the truck. Eckhart closes his eyes. Ty springs to his feet and runs past a spiraling flight of steel steps towards the steel frame walkways extending from the cabin. He races up steps to an elevated platform and crouches in the shadows, holding the radio. A dispirited Mike drags his oily fingers down his face and turns back to the truck. Flagging, Baines slogs wearily at the spike with a defeated expression. He rests the bar on his lap as he catches his breath. Ty hotfoots along a narrow railed platform, then vaults up onto a higher one, swinging nimbly under the bars and sliding to a stop on his back. He whisks the radio from his pocket and sits upright. He looks at the crackling handset, then stashes it back in his trousers before crawling on his belly to the edge of the platform. He looks down at the tiring crew. He makes a break for it across a high walkway behind the truck, then clambers up a fixed ladder through a hatch to a higher level. He stands on the mezzanine with the crackling radio held aloft.
Come on.
He closes the hatch. Mike hears. He raises a hand. His eyes rove.
I think I heard something.
What?
Palmer. Go check it out.
Palmer hands Baines the spike and hops down off the back of the truck. Mike watches as he goes swiftly but cautiously up the steel steps in the direction of the noise. Mike turns to Baines.
Let's go.
Ty races through an upper story of the vast industrial unit. He fumbles frantically with the radio as he runs. He comes to yet more stairways which traverse back and forth across an open skylit shaft. Climbing them without hesitation, he powers up onto a balcony overlooking the chimneys outside the building. He springs over a railing and lands on a roof littered with broken pallets. Limping forward, he talks into the radio.
We have an officer down. We have an officer down. I need help.
What is your location?
We're at the Steel Industry Center.
Say your name, please.
Just get here, please.
Unit's in Route Code 3.
Ty turns to see Palmer with a pistol leveled at his head. He puts his hands up.
It's done.
Ty stares at him.
It's over.
You stupid kid.
Just put the gun down. Okay? Don't make it worse. Just put the gun down.
Why couldn't you just go along?
Palmer, listen to me. Just put the gun down. Okay. You didn't hurt anybody.
Shut up! Shut your fucking mouth!
Okay.
You don't know a thing.
You don't want to do this. You don't want to do this. Just put the gun down. And we both go home. We can go home. It's a bad
thing. Shut up! Shut up! Shut the hell up!
Palmer's face is a mask of misery. The gun trembles in his hand. He wavers in his conviction and lowers the weapon. Palmer glances at the heavens, then stares fixedly at Ty with an anguished expression.
You think God will forgive me?
Ty swallows. Wearing a defeated grimace, Palmer turns away and steps off the edge of the building. Ty lunges hopelessly forward, then stares wide-eyed at the empty space where Palmer once stood. He blinks, his mouth agape. He reels slightly and his shoulders slump as he steps back from the edge of the roof. The thick steel pin inches slowly from the grip of the hinge. Baines throws his back into it, oblivious to Ty, who steals along an elevated walkway behind him. Eckhart lies on his side in the back of the truck. He opens one eye as Ty rises through the hole in the truck floor.
Can't go to sleep. They're coming. I got through.
An Eagle Shield security truck rolls down the ramp in the unit. Ty rises quickly to his feet and peels a banknote from one of the windows. He stares out as Mike and Baines hop down and stride towards the approaching truck. It parks and the rear doors open from within, as Quinn flings Jimmy out onto the filthy floor. He lands in a heap with a white sack over his head. Mike and Baines drag him to his feet and remove the sack.
Jimmy! Don't you touch him! Get out of the truck.
Ty retreats from the window and grabs a bulky contraption, partially eclipsed by shadows. Baines and Mike grab Jimmy. They carry him away from the truck and dump him on the ground. Ty wraps duct tape around the metal canister and empties a box of shotgun shells onto the truck floor.
I'm not messing around. Get out of the truck. You got 3 seconds, Ty.
Come on, soldier boy.
One, two...
Mike holds a pistol to Jimmy's head. Ty throws the truck's rear doors open and comes out with his hands up. Baines relinquishes Jimmy into Mike's grasp and slams Ty against the truck. He headbutts Ty, then knees him in the groin and slings him on the floor. Mike forcibly removes Eckhart and throws him face down in the dirt. Baines and Quinn leap eagerly into the truck. Mike throws Jimmy to the ground. Ty rolls over to shield Jimmy as Baines and Quinn open a large metal lockbox. Taped to the canister inside are a number of burning flares. A fiery explosion bursts from the truck, sending Mike flying. Burning money rains down as one of the men tumbles out through the rear doors, his whole body aflame.
Are you okay?
Ty hugs Jimmy close to his chest as flames rise from the burning body. Ty grabs Eckhart and drags him away.
Come on, Jimmy, let's move! Move!
Jimmy stares at the fire, then sprints after them. Ty sets Eckhart down between rising steel support beams.
You okay? You hurt? Huh?
He shakes his head.
Okay. I gotta make sure the cops know how to find us, all right? I'll be back. Jimmy. I'll be back.
He leans his head against Jimmy's.
All right?
Jimmy kneels by Eckhart as Ty creeps out and makes a break for it. Smoke rises from Mike's charred uniform as he lies prone on the floor. He sits up and leans on one arm, his face black with soot. Ty tears out into the daylight and makes a beeline for Eckhart's patrol car. As he gets in, Mike bursts through the doors of the unit in one of the trucks. Ty leans sideways as Mike plows into the driver's side. He reverses the truck, dragging the squad car along with it. Ty scrambles out of the passenger side window and heads off on foot. His face burnt, black and bloody, Mike throws the truck into gear and gives chase. Ty races through the yard between the jagged, crumbling remnants of two walls as Mike stares out grimly from behind the wheel of the fast-approaching truck. Ty runs for dear life, his feet pummeling the ground. Mike cracks a sinister smile. Ty impetuously darts left, skidding off a ledge onto a mound of stones. Mike hangs a left in pursuit, and the truck sails through the air onto a sloping pit of rubble. A great cloud of dust billows into a shaft of light above the wreckage. Ty stares at the upended truck, its back wheels still spinning. Grasping his right leg, Ty descends the mound of stones and hobbles towards the truck. He staggers past a huge cog and steps forth into the shadows where a dust cloud hangs like a thick fog. He comes to a stop and stares without expression at Mike, who lies on his side amongst the twisted metal, coughing up blood. Mike's dark eyes are vacant. A death rattle passes through him, and his head slumps at rest against a rock. Ty bows his head. Light arrows down through a vaporous dust cloud above the wreckage. Ty sits in a bright, airy hospital corridor. He stares through windows into a nearby room where Ashcroft stands over Eckhart's hospital bed. Propped up in bed, Eckhart meets Ty's gaze through the glass. Two uniformed officers stroll past. Ty rises to his feet as Ashcroft comes out to him, walking with his cane. He eyes Ty inscrutably.
Cop told us what you did.
Ty glances past Ashcroft in the direction of Eckhart's hospital room.
There's talk of a reward.
Ashcroft starts away down the corridor. Ty stares after him as he continues onto an adjacent ward. Jimmy appears in the doorway at the opposite end of the corridor.
Hey.
He has a bandaged head.
We going home?
Ty turns his head to stare into the dimly lit hospital ward, then smiles back at Jimmy.
Yeah.
Smiling incredulously, Ty walks along the corridor towards Jimmy. He glances back over his shoulder, then walks away with his brother. ITFC audio description was written by Sam Clark and read by Matthew Vickers.